Hey, this is the Niles family just saying, welcome to Hope.
Hi, this is Gabrielle from your church office, wishing you all a very Merry Christmas, God's blessings, and please be safe.
Hey, Hope, Hope Church! Good to see you!
Say Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Hey, Hope. I hope you guys are staying safe and healthy during all of this. I recently got accepted into Miami University on Thursday, so that's cool. So Merry Christmas, and I hope to see you all soon. Bye.
Good morning from the Schliemann family. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
See you soon.
Good morning, and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you find yourself at today. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship this morning. First, our final Advent Bible study is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The email for that with the handout is going out this afternoon, and if you don't get it, or if you want one to participate in that final study, please let me know, and I'll make sure it finds itself in your direction. Also, if you do want one, I still have some Advent take-home kits available. I know Advent is almost over, but there is always time, so let me know. If you do need some candles at home to lift up, there's one in each Advent kit, but if you want more, again, let me know, and I'll have those find their way to you. And finally, our Christmas Eve service will be online at 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve, so we hope you will join us then for that service. Now let us take a deep breath and prepare ourselves for our time of worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Sing praises to God on high, for glorious are God's works. Sing praises to the ends of the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O people of God, For great is the Holy One in our midst. Blessed is the one who comes to dwell among us.
We light this candle as a symbol of the Prince of Peace. May the visitation of your Holy Spirit, O God, make us ready for the coming of Jesus, our hope and joy. O come, Emmanuel. Now let us join in our hymn, Blessed Be the God of Israel. Come to our time of prayer, would you join me in our unison prayer? When our spirits despair and we deny our blessedness, forgive us, O God. When we ignore the mighty things you have done, when we doubt your mercy, forgive us, O God. When we are proud in the thoughts of our hearts, when our power rests on the oppression of others, when our wealth causes others to go hungry, forgive us, O God. Help us, your servants, according to the promises you have made. Amen. Now let us continue our prayers as we engage in silent and reflective prayer with musical guidance. Lord, we gather to lift up to you many things. We gather to pray that we would find ourselves closer to you and that we would know where you are at work in our world. We pray as a people who engage in steadfastness, knowing that often the time scale and the speed in which you work is not one that we would like, but it's not always about us. We know that you work in mysterious ways, O God. And today we read scriptures and spend time hearing about miraculous things, of promises fulfilled and of peace on earth. And as we gather, we lift up and pray for many people. We pray for Ed Kinneen, for Iris Dawson, for Laura Sunday, for Morgan. We pray for a great many people, not just those we've named before you, but for those we've named in our hearts as well. And as we conclude our time of prayer together, we know that that we lift up to you holds all of us together, and that the power of your Holy Spirit binds us together. We know that nothing can separate us from you, O Lord. And even if the days grow darker and shorter and colder, and words begin to fail us, we remember that you taught us a great many things, including a prayer that we could say. And so we join in that prayer now as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Now we've got our children's moment. And kids, today we're talking about peace. But peace is only one thing that we can feel. We can all feel a lot of different things. For example, sometimes we might feel happy, which can sound and make us feel like this. It's happy. And we want to dance, we want to jump, might want to sing, and so we can feel happy. And that's a pretty cool emotion to feel. Especially with Christmas coming up, I'm sure happiness is what springs to most of our minds. But sometimes we also might feel angry. We get angry. It just happens. It's part of being a person. We have all these emotions. And so someone that we care about doesn't do something we want. They don't do it the way that we want. And that makes us really, really angry. And then sometimes things are just not the way we want them to be. And so indeed, it just goes all south. And it just makes us feel sad, which can sound and make us feel kind of like this. It's very sad. But today we are talking about peaceful, because that is what Mary is going to experience today. She's going to experience a conversation that leads itself to this idea of peace, being peaceful. And so the reason I asked Zach to help us with music is because oftentimes music is a gateway to expressing and understanding something that maybe we couldn't have in another way. And so music can help kind of move us into that space. And so being peaceful can kind of feel and sound like this. be peaceful doesn't necessarily mean that we've got it all figured out. It doesn't really necessarily mean that everything is great and going well. It just means that we are at a spot where we are good. We are comfortable. We are understanding our situation, and that brings us peace. An angel talks to Mary today in our scripture and in the wider Christmas story. And it's not to say that she's super happy about what she's hearing, necessarily. It's not to say that she's sad about what she's hearing. It's not to say that she's angry about what she's hearing. But she has a better sense of how God is at work and how she fits into that. She has a sense that not only is this something she's asked to do, but she gets a chance to say yes or no to that, to get her own take, her own two cents into the conversation. And so she comes out of that conversation feeling peaceful, much like that music made us feel. So hopefully today and this week coming up, things might be hectic and might seem crazy, but I hope you can find a moment that makes you feel peaceful this week. Let us close with a prayer. God, thank you for all the emotions that we can feel as they help us to be who we are. And as we go into this season and this holiday of Christmas this week, Lord, be with us that we would be peaceful, that we would be happy and celebratory during these times, and know that no matter how we feel, you are with us. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 through 11 and 16. When the King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "Look, I'm living in a cedar palace, but God's chest is housed in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go ahead and do whatever you are thinking, because the Lord is with you." But that very night, the Lord's word came to Nathan, "Go to my servant David and tell him, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build the temple for me to live in. In fact, I haven't lived in a temple from the day I brought Israel out of Egypt until now. Instead, I have been traveling around in a tent and in a dwelling. Throughout my traveling around with the Israelites, did I ever ask any of Israel's tribal leaders I appointed to shepherd my people, 'Why haven't you built me a cedar temple?' So then, say this to my servant David. This is what the Lord of heavenly forces says. I took you from the pasture, from following the flock, to be leader over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone, and I've eliminated all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great, like the name of the greatest people on earth. I'm going to provide a place for my people Israel and plant them so that they may live there and no longer be disturbed. Cruel people will no longer trouble them, as they had been earlier when I appointed leaders over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. And the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make a dynasty for you. Your dynasty and your kingdom will be secured forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
My second lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 38. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom. Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I haven't had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman, who was labeled unable to conceive, is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Wouldn't be church without a train going by, blowing its whistle, would it? Every week, I tell you. This week we lit the candle of peace, and on its face, this story about Mary and an angel doesn't seem to really have much to do with peace. It doesn't talk about an army coming to establish safe borders so that, you know, hostile invaders from Egypt or from the north couldn't come in to threaten the Israelites. It doesn't talk about keeping the Romans out. It doesn't talk about paying off all their debts so they don't have any financial stress. It doesn't talk about making sure that Mary's life is comfortable. It doesn't talk about any of the things that I think we often equate with peace. It doesn't seem on its face to be about things that are peaceful to any of us. And yet, this is the week of peace. As we prepare for Christmas, we light the candle of peace last. Peace is something that I think we often misunderstand. Now, obviously, there is this version of peace, right? Right? Not to be confused with Winston Churchill, which is, this is victory, but, you know, peace, like the hippies, as we often talk about, looking back at those times. And, you know, then there's peace when you look out your back door, and there's like a light fog hanging over the ground, and you've got your coffee, and the birds aren't even chirping, and it's just still. There's that kind of peace, right? And then there's peace like your toddler's finally taking a nap, and it's quiet in your house, and your dogs aren't barking at somebody walking on the sidewalk, and so for 5 minutes, you're not managing some kind of, you know, chaotic emergency. There's that kind of peace. So there's lots of different kinds of peace, but the peace that Mary is encountering in this moment is the peace of understanding, acceptance, and recognition. You see, Mary understands what the angel is saying to her. She has a question, and the angel answers it. And this stands in stark contrast to the story of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who asked the angel a question when Gabriel says to him, like, "Your wife's going to have a kid." And he's like, "But we're kind of old." And the angel's like, "Oh, you don't believe. But bam, no talking for you." And so, you know, Mary gets to ask a question. But to be fair, Mary's a little bit more directly involved than Zechariah was. But she has peace because she gets to ask her question. She gets to understand what it is that is being asked of her. And for many of us, in order to be at peace with whatever is going to happen, we need to know everything about the situation that we're walking into. We need to know, you know, what time we got to be there. We need to know how far it is to get there. We need to know how long are we going to be there? How many changes of clothes do I need? You know, is it overnight? Do we need any pajamas? You know, anything like that. We need to know all these details for us to be at peace, because not knowing is a source of anxiety. So she knows this peace. She gets to know what she's walking into. She understands the situation. And Mary also is at peace because she gets to have her own input. She gets to consent to that which is happening with her as part of the equation. And that's why we have verse 38 when she says, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Mary has peace because she knows this is not something that is forced upon her, but something that she is being asked to participate in. And that's peace-giving, because it's not anxiety-driven. Do this or else. It's do this if you will. And then she gets to ask a question and gets to be in the conversation and then to say yes at the end of it. Now, following this scripture, we get Mary going to visit Elizabeth, and then they get to have this really cool moment where Mary gets to pray. She gets to do her prayer, her song, her prophecy. It's called the Magnificat. It's really great. You should go read it. But right in this moment where we leave off, there is the peace that causes everything else around us to settle. Because in this moment, Mary knows what is going on. She understands the whole picture. And she is a participatory agent within it of her own free will. We cannot be at peace when we are forced into a situation. We cannot be at peace, and we cannot be an agent of peace when we are forced into a situation, because we ourselves are not at peace in that moment. As we prepare for Christmas and for the arrival of Christ and the celebration of His coming into our midst, please know that you need to take time. The season of Advent is a season of taking time. The season of Lent is a season of taking time. There's a theme in the church, which is take time, because we understand that the commitment of what it means to accept Christ in our lives and to follow Him with how we live our lives is not an easy one, and that to do it, we need to be at peace. So we must take time, especially now, to find that peace in our lives. To sit down and reflect on that which keeps us up, that which causes us stress, to sort out that which poisons our relationships with one another. We ourselves, like Mary, need to ask tough questions, get answers, and be one who is at peace. It does not mean that everything in our life, as I said in the children's moment, does not mean that everything in our life is going great, but it means that we are comfortable with where we are at, even in the midst of whatever season we find ourselves in. The peace that stills our souls is the understanding of where we fit in that moment, in the puzzle of the kingdom of God. So this Christmas, may you figure out what piece of the puzzle you are. May you have a moment of peace. Amen. Let us join in our next hymn, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear."
It came upon the
Find ourselves in our time of offertory, and I would invite us, no matter where we are, to engage in a moment of silent reflection of what it means to give of ourselves and our lives and all that we have to God. Now, let us join in our doxology. Desires good for all creatures, satisfy our hunger not just for food, but for freedom, truth, justice, and love. O risen Christ, you revealed yourself to us as one who gives to the poor and cares for all people. We dedicate our lives and our offerings to your service. O Holy Spirit, bless these gifts and abide in our hearts, so that our gifts and our actions may live out our faith, glorify God, and bring forth a fruitful harvest for the kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May you find a moment of peace this week, even if it is but a moment. And in that moment, may the peace that passes all understanding, and may the spirit of Christmas and of the coming of Christ, take up residence in your heart and your soul as we prepare ourselves to remember and celebrate his arrival, his gift, his majesty, yet again. Let us join in our benediction response Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.